Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning. Try to get situated really quick here. Hopefully, you're all nice and caffeinated.
So last week, we actually started in on sort of like a short little series here that we want to do on a regular basis each year as we have sort of like mover-ups come into the college-age ministry. So we have a couple here and even some new faces. We want to do some distinctives of this ministry. And so we decided over three lessons we would kind of go over those distinctives. James started in on the first two last week. I endeavored to do two today, and then hopefully we may finish two on Tuesday night. And then next week, come back because Nathan will actually be back in the book of Ruth. So learn a lot about a kinsman redeemer. So look forward to that study. So last week we did start into these distinctives. Sort of just wanted to open it up as a conversation with you guys first to say, why have distinctives? Why have distinctives specifically for a ministry in general? Why have distinctives for a college ministry in general? What's the purpose? Why? That's for you guys. Feedback. Thoughts. We're going to go to this table back here first. So Sam, Ben, Brooklyn, Andrew, anybody. Why have distinctives? Don't be afraid. You're just being recorded. It's okay. Dan. You knew it was coming your way, man. You even looked down like, don't call on me. Why have distinctives? Yep. Caleb shaking his head yes. So Caleb, what would you say?
Approved.
You approved. He approves this message. We are in the political framework. Anybody else? So let's talk about distinctives. So distinctives would be what makes you different, right? Than either any ministries at this church, or even as we talk about ministries in the church, we're going to be different than what the world's going to look like. So we can even talk about why be different world has to offer. So, but at this church specifically, why have distinctives? Why?
Distinctives provide a clear framework for what sets us apart as a unique ministry of the church while still tying us back to the overall purpose of what the church wants to do.
That's great. That's great. It's like you've been reading our website. That's fantastic. Good job. Good job. Now, if I had to ask you one more question, you had to say, and this can be rapid fire, everyone, not only this table back here because they were silent, but if you had to say, hey, for this particular ministry, what should be some of the distinctives? What should they be?
David? One of the urgency we have as a church in the United States is to be a prayerful church.
A prayerful church.
Pray that even people from outside, they will know that we have that desire when we talk to them and say, let me pray for you, like the spot. Mm-hmm. Something like that will be distinctive from the church, great community church.
Okay, all right. What else?
I would say, like, in the purpose of
anybody Anybody else? One more. Just if you have to say, here is a distinctive that we should definitely have. We have six defined for us already, but any other thoughts? All right, crickets. So the two we went over last week, just as a review, first is the fact that this particular ministry is vital. So James went over just the vitalness of this ministry, being that you guys are in a particular time of life that's pretty unique. Right? And you could say that about all of our ministries, but for this particular sort of section in your life, as you're making decisions around career, as you're making decisions around relationships, as you're making decisions around, do I stay at this church? Do I go to another church? As you're really starting to demonstrate your own faith, right? As you're starting to get a whole lot more freedom, this is a critical point in your life. And so we really believe that this particular ministry is absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. So James went over that last week. The other thing we know distinctive about this ministry is it's multifaceted in the sense of, I had to go back and look at what this meant, but that is, it needs to be, that needs to go beyond just a Sunday and a midweek Bible study to regular interactions and regular discipleship. So that's the multifaceted piece of this ministry. The other four, just so you know, if you're taking notes, the next two that we'll actually cover is the fact that we believe this college-age ministry, as in every church ministry, is primarily word-driven and Christ-focused. The fact that it's word-driven and Christ-focused. The fourth one we believe that is local church-oriented. So we're going to talk about that this morning. The fifth thing would be that this ministry must be focused on outreach. And you guys can be praying for our care team this afternoon as we start to talk about how can we do some more things in our community to do some outreach activities so that we can present the gospel, right? We can go out into community and present the gospel. And then the last one, and this really makes this particular ministry unique as compared to even like our youth ministry, where a lot of you guys came through that great ministry, is the fact that we are convinced and we believe that our college-age students are not the church of tomorrow. You're not the church of tomorrow, but an integral part of the church today. Okay? Unlike our youth group, right? So our youth group, we actively invite unbelievers to come just hang out. Like that's the reality of it. Knowing that we're going to be presenting the gospel in many different ways and often. Okay? This particular ministry, it's going to be a lot about you guys leading in different ways. And if you're going to be leading in different ways, we want to see you in Christ, right? So there's a huge distinction between this particular ministry and the one that many of you just came through. So today we're going to focus on the next two. So on 3 and 4, we're going to focus on the fact that this is primarily word-driven and Christ-focused. And then we'll focus on the fact that it is focused on the local church. It's local church oriented. So anytime we talk about the word, I get pretty excited. So this should thrill every believer's heart. So everyone should have at least one or two verses that you're just like, man, this really just does it for me when we talk about the word or scripture, New Testament, Old Testament. What would be some of your favorites when it comes to sort of just talking about the word or scripture itself? Any favorites out there? Some of our newbies? Brian saying no. Anybody got a favorite scripture about the word itself? 1 Peter 2:2 says, man, we just went through 1 Peter, right? And I love that text. Love that text. Just like a newborn infant, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word. Yes. Anybody else? Kyle.
One of my favorite portions of scripture is John 6. And through that, Christ is preaching to the multitudes. He just fed them. And it says, after he says that, you know, you must eat of this body and to be saved, In John 6:6, it says, many turned away and left. And Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, will you also leave? And Simon Peter says to him, where else should we go? For you have the word of eternal life, and we have come to know that you are the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Who revealed that to you?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. What else? Anybody else? Brian, give us one. Any particular scripture?
Verses 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training up in righteousness, so that the many of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work.
Yep, yep. Love that one. We're actually going to visit that one today as a group. Love that one. What I did was I took just a couple scriptures, right? So this isn't a typical lesson for us because we're just walking through some of those distinctives. And I kind of wanted to look at, well, why be word focused? Why be word focused? One particular reason is scripture is a thing that points to Christ, right? So we're talking about being distinct, being different, even from other little organizations or activities that you may get involved in from a college age standpoint. This is the only ministry, not the only ministry, this is the ministry at our church focused on college age students that's going to point you to the Word, right? Go to other sort of campus ministries or do other activities during this period of your life. There's not going to be a lot that's going to point you to actual salvation. And so that's one of the primary reasons why this is word focused. So scripture points you to Christ. And this is the only need you have for life right now. So science and biology and anatomy and everything you're learning right now, school is great, great. But the only thing you need in life is you need to be saved. That's the ultimate priority. And so that's why we focus on scripture. Let's actually turn to John 5. Turn to John 5. John 5, 39 specifically, 39 through 47. Jesus is going through all these witnesses that speak to or testify to him, being the Christ, being the Messiah. Here's what he says in John 5:39. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Says, I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? You do not seek the glory that is from one, the one and only God. And then again in verse 45 through 46, he says, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, you will believe my words. So again, scripture points to the only way to salvation. It points to Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:15, flip over there. It leads to Christ. So as David pointed out, one of his favorite texts when it comes to scripture, 2 Timothy here. And many of you reap the benefits of being raised in a godly house, very similar to what Paul is talking about Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3:15. We'll start in 14. He just says, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how I'm in the wrong book. 2 Timothy. We'll come back to that one in a second. 2 Timothy 3. Hey, I haven't taught Sunday school in a while. I'm a little rusty. 2 Timothy 3:15. You guys have experienced some of this. So, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation, again, through faith in Christ Jesus. It is the word that points you to Christ Jesus. Last text here, 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, not to be confused with 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Again, Paul says, for since the wisdom of God
the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And where do we find that message preached today? It's in the Word. It's in the Word, right? So our primary focus is on the Word, being focused on Christ, because the Scriptures is what ultimately points you to Christ. It's what brings you to salvation, to the knowledge of Christ there. The other aspect as well, why Scripture, why is it important, is because this is how God speaks today. Okay, I didn't know how to properly phrase that because I didn't want to make it seem like God speaks to you audibly. That's not how He speaks. He speaks through His Word. Okay, so if you want to hear from God, if you want to know what God's thinking, if you want to know His perspective on how we should be living today, you come to His Word and what He has already written down and preserved for us long, long ago in writing. So the Scripture of the Old Testament and New Testaments were given by inspiration of God. Therefore, all Scripture is authoritative, it's infallible, it's inerrant. The Scriptures are the only sufficient rule for faith and practice. Let me say that again. The Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, it's very important that I have to say Old and New Testament. There are churches today that will tell you, jettison the Old Testament, just focus on the New Testament. Okay? Both Old and New Testament were given by inspiration of God. Therefore, because of that, all Scripture is authoritative, it's infallible, it's inerrant. The Scriptures are the only sufficient rule for faith and for practice. And when it comes to inspiration, you know these texts well, right? Some of you have been at this church since you literally were born. Who was born at this church? Anybody? Maybe I'm wrong about that. Obviously not physically born at this church, but was anybody a baby here? Like, do we have that generation yet? So the Odell, yeah. Oh, how neat, right? So from childhood, some of these verses have been pounded in your head, right? You've heard it over and over again, not only from the pulpit, not only from Sunday school, not only from youth group, but during your family worship, Miss Odell, I'm pretty sure you've heard some of these same texts, right? So inspiration, of course, we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3:16, so you can go ahead and flip there. But that inspiration that's mentioned in 2 Timothy 3:16, where Paul says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, for this purpose, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Right? That inspiration there is breathed out, or God breathed. That's what he's communicating there. So you have inspiration. And then in 2 Peter 1, turn over to 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 21. 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 21. Verses 16 through 21, here's what Peter says. Peter says, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So we saw this. Verse 17, for when he received glory or honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And we ourselves, we heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. But then he goes on to say, even though we were eyewitnesses, we sat there, we saw it, we heard the voice. Verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you would do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever given or ever made by an act of man's human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God.
Inspiration. The fact that it's also, you know, why we come to the Word of God, the fact that this is how He speaks to us today, because it is inspired, because it is God-breathed, it's infallible, it's inerrant. I just took a look at the Oxford Dictionary on these two words, and I actually found this really funny. So the definition for infallible that they used was an adjective that means incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. And then they use it in a sentence to help you get an essence of what it is, right? So for infallible, they say, doctors are not infallible, which was a little scary. But for inerrant, they use a very similar definition. So the adjective means incapable of being wrong. And then listen to the actual example that they give to drive home what it means to be inerrant. They said they believe in an inerrant scripture. That's their example to drive it home. The Oxford Dictionary, right? So, just in case you were confused about what infallible or inerrant means, there's no mistakes. What God wrote is what He intended. And when properly interpreted, you can hear from God. You know exactly what He's communicating. So, it's inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant. Because all of that, it's absolutely authoritative. You do not want to hear my opinions on the way your life should go. Right? You could ask my wife. I have pretty strong convictions about some crazy things in this world. Pretty strong convictions. You don't want to know that. You want to know what your Heavenly Father has spoken to you through His Word. Okay? That's absolutely distinct from any other thing you'll get involved with in this world. There's a lot of good organizations out there to go get involved with. You want to find the ones that are going to speak absolute truth to you. And that's what we find in the Word. Because it speaks truth, that means it has authority over your life. It means we should submit and obey to what it's calling us to do. Nathan already, when he was praying, this verse came up. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." 2 Peter 1:19, "So we have the prophetic word more sure, to which, again, you would do well to pay attention." Some translations actually say to listen to. You would do well to pay attention. You would do well to listen to, as to a light shining in the dark. Mark 28, just go to the Great Commandment or Great Commission. Still rusty. Great Commission. Mark 28. The last thing Jesus tells them, "I've got all authority. Here's what I'm going to tell you to go do." It says, Jesus went up, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and suggesting that they should observe all that I've commanded you to do." That's a different translation. That's a bad translation, Nathan said. That's a bad translation. That's not what he said. He did not say, "I suggest that you do these things." He says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And oh, by the way, just in case you forget it, I'm with you. I'm with you even until the end of this age." One that I absolutely love. Let's turn over to Matthew 7 real quick. Because you may have been taught this by Miss Odell, the great one, in some nursery somewhere in this church. Right. Somewhere in this church. Matthew 7. probably know where we're going to go. We could all sing the song together, but we're not going to do it this morning. Matthew 7:24. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for or because it had been founded on the rock." And the rain fell, and it says, everyone, in contrast to that, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You notice the difference here, right? It's not the hearing of the word. It's not, did we sit in Sunday school? Did we sit in Sunday service? It's not the difference between this foolish one and the wise one. It's not even the circumstances that happen. Life is going to happen to everyone. Guaranteed. If you live long enough, there's going to be some rain in your life. There's going to be some winds. There's going to be something that's going to slam up against you. Guaranteed. The difference between these two people is not the listening, but it was, did you obey? Were you humble enough to obey what I told you to do? So the scripture is inspired. It's infallible. It's inerrant. Because all those things, it has weight. It has authority over your life. We should submit our lives to it. And that's why this is a word-focused, Christ-driven ministry. Very distinct from all the other activities you'll get involved in. Very, very distinct. Okay? So in summary to that, we believe that this college-aged ministry, and oh, by the way, we do have a name for our college-aged ministry, so I'm going to stop calling it college-aged ministry. So we believe that this college-aged ministry is primarily word-driven and Christ-focused, a hunger to love that Word of God, to know the Word of God, and to apply the Word of God for the glory of Christ is the foundation for all we seek to accomplish. That's the foundation for all we seek to accomplish. And you can't talk about the Word without going to at least one scripture in Psalm 119. At least one scripture, right? So let's go to Psalm 119, verses 97 through 105, and we'll let the psalmist have the last word when it comes to the word. So this is Psalm 119, verses 97 through 105. The psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." That's why word-driven, Christ-focused. Now, the fourth thing that's distinct about this ministry, the fourth thing, is the fact that we believe that this college-age ministry is and should be local church-oriented. Some very important words there. Local church oriented. You even heard Chris mention it earlier today in the sermon. Local church oriented. I'm going to read this statement directly from our website because I think it's so well crafted. So from our website, I quote, "We believe the College Age Ministry is a local church oriented. Each College Age member is first and foremost a member of Grace Community Church, and we want to help build a love for and a commitment to a local body of believers.
This does not in any way limit involvement in the college campus or other godly organizations, but keeps our focus on the institution that God has designed to accomplish His work in this world. We want to teach, and I'm continuing to quote here, we want to teach each young adult to love the church with reckless abandon. And that starts first here at Grace Community Church in downtown Murrillville, Tennessee. To this end, we believe that the college-age ministry involves encouraging each one to be an active participant in the church beyond just spending time with those of similar age or interest. This makes the college-age ministry a challenge because we want everyone to be busy about ministry to others, but also ministering to each other. So, I think you can hear the heart of what our elders are saying, what I would continue to communicate. This is a local church-focused ministry. I've said it before, there's a lot of good and godly things you can do out there in the world, right? Jesus Christ gave us the greatest investment advice. Not even advice. He gave us the greatest sort of inside trade you ever want to have. I was challenged with this early on in my own Christian faith as I was trying to figure out, well, what do I do? What do I invest my time, money, energy? What do I devote? And a guy that was discipling me at the time simply sat down and goes, listen, here's a guarantee for you in this life. Christ has said, I will build my church. I will build my church. He didn't say I was going to go build this organization or that organization or hospitals or doing this or that. He said, I will build my church. I don't know if you guys invest in the stock market yet, but if anyone tells you, I guarantee this is going to happen, especially the creator of this world, if he goes, I guarantee this is going to happen, that's where I'm going to put my time and energy and focus, is in that guarantee. And that's what Christ has already said. Now, is it the church universal that he's going to build? Absolutely. He's going to call his people out of this world. Absolutely. How does he do that? Let's look at the scriptures. He does it through the local church. And what I did here, I was thinking through my mind, just all of the sort of different commandments, scenarios, just thoughts on the local church itself. And here's just a couple just bullet-pointed thoughts and ideas that came from me. But if you think about each letter that's written in the New Testament, it's usually written to a local church. It may be a circular letter that's going to go to another church, but that is a local group of people that letter is written to. So local church there. Acts, when people were coming to faith in Christ, they were being added, they were being counted, they were being numbered. Everybody knew who these people were, and they were being added to local little congregations. Some of them were larger, as you think about thousands coming to Christ. Local. Think about the commandments to Titus. Hey, I want you to go to Crete. I want you to set some things in order. This is why I left you there, to appoint elders in the local church. Not for all of the churches. In that particular local church, go set it in order. Make sure there's elders that are qualified to do the work that they need to do in the local church. Thinking about equipping and training. Ephesians 4:11 talks about equipping and training for the works of ministry. That's for the local church. That's where the equipping and training happens. The care for widows and orphans happens in the local church. The call for submission to elders, you can't submit to every single elder in this world that's attached to the universal church. You can only submit to your local elders. Church discipline. Where does that happen? In the local church. The practice of the one another's. Love people in California. Love John MacArthur's ministry. I have no clue what's going on in their lives personally. The practice of the one another's happen in the local church. The Great Commission that we just talked about, baptizing, teaching, making disciples, that happens in the local church. So, the distinctive of this ministry is the fact that this particular ministry is focused here on this particular local church at Grace Community Church in downtown Maryville, Tennessee. Okay? Very distinct. Very, very distinct. Just in case you didn't get it, I actually did some research on the one another's. And just as I go through this list really quick of the one another's, think about how many of these can you do with the Church Universal, and how many of these can you only do with someone that you actually know in your local church. Here's a list of the one another's that I found. Andrew, keep a tally of how many of these are. I found this list to be pretty impressive. So here we go. So we got love one another. John 13:34, the command occurs at least 16 times. Be devoted to one another, Romans 12:10. Honor one another above yourselves, Romans 12:10. Live in harmony with one another, build one another up. Be like-minded towards one another, accept one another, admonish one another, serve one another, bear one another burdens, forgive one another, be patient with one another, speak the truth. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Submit to one another. Consider others better than yourselves. Look to the interests of one another. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Stir up, provoke, stimulate one another to love and good works. Show hospitality. Employ gifts that God has given us for the benefit of one another, humility towards one another, pray for one another, confess faults of one another, do not lie to one another, stop passing judgment on one another, if you keep on biting and devouring one another, you will destroy each other. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying one another, do not slander one another, don't grumble against one another. How many was that?
34. Did you count?
34. Okay. Now, of those 34, no doubt you could probably practice some of those with the Church Universal. No doubt. You could pray for the Church Universal. Absolutely. I don't think you could ever bear people's burdens. I don't think you could ever truly encourage somebody with a word. I don't think you could ever really admonish somebody if they need it. Right. So the point, the idea is, again, what's distinctive about this particular college age ministry? It is focused on the local church. Now, at the beginning, we were talking about why share distinctives, why talk about this. One thing I failed to mention is at some point, you're going to leave this church. Hopefully, it's through the front door, not the back door. So, at some point, you're going to leave this church. We're going to encourage you to leave this church at some point. We want you to know how to go look for another great ministry. And hopefully, that other great ministry is going to say, one, it's vital. I can't remember the second one. What was the second one? Anybody remember the second one? So it's vital. It's multifaceted. It's going to happen over multiple days throughout the week. We're going to be together in the homes. We're going to be breaking bread together. We're going to be doing all that stuff together. Hopefully that ministry will be word-focused and Christ-driven. And hopefully that church, that ministry, is going to be focused on the people there locally in that church. Right, so that's another reason why we're going through these distinctives. It's another piece of training for you guys. You go, this is what I should look for. This is what I should look for. So in closing, all I'm going to say is just know what you're signing up for. This is what we believe. This is what we hope you're going to believe as well and encourage other people to come to. Here's what the summary statement of the ministry of the church here, this college-age ministry. So the college-age ministry exists to serve young adults as a part of the ministry of Grace Community Church as a whole. We strive to build up believers in Christ by exhorting them to confidence in God's Word, biblical knowledge and discernment, holy living, and a love for Jesus Christ and for the local church. We seek to promote the centrality of the local church and to equip and encourage believers to serve others by preparing them for ministry and encouraging them towards service opportunities. We also aim to assist them in their transition into adulthood and integration into to the local church body. Finally, we desire to proclaim Christ. We desire to proclaim Christ to those who do not know Him, so that they might respond to Him in repentance and faith, resulting in salvation. So let me close in prayer, and then we'll answer one question. So let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity just to review just how we view this ministry, Lord. And we do pray that we would be ultimately different than the world, but also that we would use this as an opportunity to learn what ministry should look like and can look like, and to spur one another on with these things, Father. But I do pray that you would continue to give our elders and our leadership team just wisdom and discernment for this ministry here. Father, I do pray that you would help us to continue to stay focused on your word, that we would go out and continue to proclaim Christ not only here at our church, but as you work in our hearts and our lives to go out and proclaim Christ to a dark and dying world. Father, I do pray that you would just cultivate a heart for the people at this church, or that you would help us to see that we have so many souls around us that we can encourage, that we can pray for, that we can comfort, that we can study with, that we can confess things that we're struggling with in our own lives. Father, help us to just cultivate a heart for the people that you already have us around. Lord, as we just go throughout the rest of the day, help us to meditate upon these things. We give you all the glory and the honor for this time. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.